money.
Let's talk money.
I don't have your money.
I know I'd be a lot happier with some extra cash.
Is this about money?
Obviously, this is all about money.
Oh, man, we got bills to pay, buddy.
With practical tips and a focus on scripture, let's talk money. With Dave and Reb. From More Than Enough. Real conversations about money for real people. Let's talk money.
Are you ready to talk money, Reb?
I'm ready to talk money.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. It's Dave and Reb, and we are in the studio alone. So this is the Let's Talk Money with Dave and Reb show with Dave and Reb only. So welcome to the show. Again, if you're a first-time tune-in listener, watcher on YouTube, we so appreciate you coming in and tuning in. If you've been listening a long time, we appreciate you too. We really can't do the show without you on the other end listening and giving us feedback and just sharing what would be a great money topic. So feel free anytime through whatever, whether that's through the YouTube channel, whether that's through the podcasting platforms, whether that's back on our website at morethanenough.ca, feel free to reach out and give us ideas. We always love ideas for the show. We want to make sure we talk about things that are important to you. And this morning, our show is sponsored by LTR, good friends of ours, Brian and his team. And if you are in the commercial world, if you're revamping your space, you need to talk to Brian and his team at LTR, and they will help you refresh your space, and they work specifically in commercial spaces. So thank you to LTR for sponsoring the show. We so appreciate your partnership. Okay, Reb, we got like a bit of a crazy topic this morning. Came out of a conversation we were having.
Yeah, with some friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just mulling over, like, do we start with scripture or we're just going to lay the scripture out through the show?
I think we talk about what we want to talk about first.
Well, and I guess I want to ask the question, what does it look like in your life when someone asks you, you know, your bucket list items and your, mm-hmm. You know, whatever you would really love to do, but you're not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say, you know, Dave, if I said, you know, you love kite sailing, you really love it.
Yes, I'm learning to love it.
Okay, you're learning. Okay.
Because,
you know what? I'm like, well, why don't you do it more often?
That's a really great question. and I would say I have two answers to that. Not surprising, time and money. that is why I don't do it enough.
That is often the answer I get from you. Mm-hmm. And actually, I want to debunk that.
Okay.
Because I actually don't think it's time and money. I mean, maybe on some levels it is, but we had a conversation with a group of friends and we were talking about travel and mm-hmm. one of them like really wants to travel. And I'm like, well, what's keeping you from traveling? And it was like before, like that you could get out any heartbeat, like between mm-hmm. the
instantaneous.
It was response. Instantaneous yep. response. And it's about the money. And then another of our friends said, well, actually, I don't know if it's about the money. I wonder if it's about priorities
mm-hmm.
and not about the money. And then that got me thinking, you right. know, I hear us say sometimes, oh, time and money, but is it really about the money? And is it time to stop blaming money when money is a tool
mm-hmm.
and it has no morality and we blame this thing? And is it really what we're meaning? Like if you say time and money, is it really that, or is it actually, and I would say, because this is what we do at More Than Enough and we help people do this, it's one of the practical things. It's actually our planning. We don't plan to do what we love to do, or as the one friend said, other priorities can steal away from the dream, let's say. But There's so much in this topic.
Oh my. Where do we start?
Because it's, you know, do we blame money, Dave?
And I think maybe that's a really great question. Like to just kind of go there and say, you know, if you're listening and you're going, okay, just think about this for a minute. When in the last week, even just going back to last week, did I say, oh, can't do that because I don't have the money, or I'd really like to do that. And if I had the money, I would do that.
And I think, you know, just as a sidebar, time is just as much. We blame time. Oh, yeah. We blame time maybe even more than money, but they're like running neck and neck. Mm-hmm. But yes, I think we often, it just comes out of our mouth without thinking about it. And that's, we talk about facing our finances. This is part of what we want to face today. Mm-hmm. What is our language and our beliefs around this? Because if we say it's money's fault, I don't have enough, we actually are, I mean, maybe we're not discontent, but I just asked a question. There can be complete contentment, but we're just answering the question, why don't you travel more if you really want to? Well, it's about the money. But is it really about the money? And sometimes we are discontent and we blame the money, and it creates a narrative in our life that I'm not sure as followers of Jesus, we want to be having that narrative that guides us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think, you know, we talked a little bit about the luxury part of it. You know, you talked about my hobby of kite surfing. If I don't kite surf, my life will not end, right? You know, there's no luxury, but we often blame money. I think when we talk about the blame game around things that maybe are less around luxury, but more connected to need, right? And so, you know, this is where it gets, I'm going to get a little sensitive, is you know, what if the blame is, well, I just don't have enough money to meet the needs that I have, whether that's paying the hydro bill or whether that's, you know.
Right, so you're not even thinking about a trip or your bucket list, or you're just actually thinking about paying hydro and you know.
Do we blame money in that situation? You know, do we put the blame and say, well, you know.
Or right now, like there's. Like, I feel like, just so listeners know, I feel like this is kind of like I should have put that Kleenex box in front of us. We're like picking a Kleenex out and then another one, another one. I know that people can listen to our show and, you know, want tips and tricks for cash flow management. But this topic today, I think we're exploring it because I'm concerned about the heart issue around that language where we blame money for something and or we blame the lack of time. Like it's actually we blame the deficiency because we don't have the life we want. Mm-hmm. So we have this life maybe because we're comparing or we have this idea of what life we want to live because we are maybe feeling overworked, maybe we're feeling underpaid, and we just think, ah, it's the government's fault, it's time's fault, it's I've got too many kids' fault. Like we're just throwing out anywhere we can throw the onus instead of saying, you know what, maybe I have to reevaluate what's important to me and make a plan.
Right. And I think that's, as human nature, we really don't like change. And so there's this element of change mixed into all of this where, you know, for example, you know, I and this is probably really, really touches our current housing. You know, I don't like the rent, or I can't pay the rent, or the rent is too high. And so often we go, well, what does that mean? Is it too high just for me? Right. And this is one of the questions we often talk about in the context of More Than Enough and the work we do there. You know, what do you mean it's too high? Is it because your neighbor has cheaper rent than you? Or are you looking at your numbers and saying that the rent is too high for the income that I have coming in? Those are two different things. And, you know, when we talk about blaming money, we often talk in these vague statements. Oh, man, I can't believe how high rent is in Ottawa. And yet, right, we go, well, is that our own, I'd like to have cheaper rent so that I can spend money on other areas of my life? Of course, but I see a lot of people when I get into the numbers go, Well, you can actually afford to stay there. And but yes, this does set the boundaries mm-hmm. for what's going on in other areas of your life. And so, you know, coming to that blaming money on there's not enough money, being a little bit careful to what is the context? Am I comparing to the world around me, or am I actually looking at my numbers and saying, this is what it is, and what do I have to change?
And you know, I was thinking about a phrase of Vicky Ruby. I don't know if she said it on the show, but we were talking about it when we were prepping for the show. She said one of the hardest things that for her, well, hardest, that's probably even not saying it properly. I don't want to put words in her mouth. One of the things that she's had to face is like, she loves to travel. But what she says is, she said it like this, this isn't the season for that.
Right.
Right now, their season is to be working at Carlington Booch and Union City Church. And there's not a lot of extra income that would, where they'd be able to save for a trip.
Right.
And I just appreciated her language around that because it's not the season.
Right.
You know, it's not in the plan for the next 6 months for me to go to Europe. Mm-hmm. You know, would I love to do that? Yes. I'm thinking about that. I'm thinking, you know, what would that look for me to get there? The language is just different. But what we do, because we're like, oh, well, you know, no, I can't go because I don't have the money. I mean, that just puts an obstacle right in your whole being. And then all of a sudden you're like, you're blaming this money thing because you can't get the comfort or the bucket list thing that you desire.
Well, and even, you know, we talk about this a lot in the grocery situation where, you know, we've all been there. You get to the grocery checkout and there's a long lineup of chocolate bars and all of the good things to eat. And little Johnny is coming up behind us and it's like, Mommy, can I have this? Daddy, can I have this? And I mean, we've all been there. And our response is no, we can't afford it. And that's actually, again, this is some of the language we want to change. Of course you can afford it. It's $1.50, right? I'm just saying that for most of us, we could find the money to do that. Changing the language a little bit to say, well, we've chosen to spend our money today on different things. And so, no, we're not going to purchase that. We're going to choose to spend it on something. Changing the language around just even something as simple as that helps us move from this place of lack where there's not enough to a place where, no, as you said, we've got some different priorities. We've got some different, even in our grocery buying, you know, we've got some, and that doesn't mean the next time to your seasons, you might walk in the store and say, you know what? Yeah, let's buy a chocolate bar. And you know what? We're choosing this time to buy that chocolate bar.
Or you've told your son, you know what? You can do some chores around the house and I can, you know, we're going to talk about, you know, your give, save, spend. You know, I'm
just... Oh, now you're making it a lesson. Okay.
Yeah, because I'm a teacher and a mom. So, of course, it's what we do. But then you're like, yeah, next time, you know what? Why don't you bring your money next time? Mm-hmm. And next time he says, oh, you're going to the grocery store. I have my money saved up for that chocolate bar. And you're like, yeah, awesome. So off you go. And there's some pre-planning. There's like, I mean, that's a whole other thing. But I think what I also get concerned with in my own life is what, because I would say years ago when we left the family business and we started More Than Enough and we were living off our savings and very limited income at that time for a family of six, I was like hoping that you would like get a job, like a real job, you know, that had a salary, someone else paid. We weren't going to be entrepreneurs. Like you could have a regular income because it felt more secure to me. And it, you know, in this government town, I sometimes like my confession of sin right here, you know, I envy like those government pensions and the regular work and the 9 to 5 and the, you know, I can say sometimes I look over the hedgerow and think, oh, wouldn't that be nice? Mm-hmm. And I have to work that out with the Lord. That's just my big confession. But what happens is then I put my money on the money. I'm looking to the money to solve the problem. I'm looking to the money to save me. I'm looking to the money to bring me what, you know, what I desire. And without Christ, maybe some people are in that same realm. We've heard it from folks that maybe aren't Christ followers, and they're like fearful in this season. They're looking to their own bank accounts to provide what they need. And yet, as Christ followers, he shows us a different way. He shows us that the source of all that we have is God the Father. He represented Jesus, like Jesus represented the Father on the earth. And you were saying to me before the show this morning, if you would have been God,
yes,
you know, you would
have, yeah. Because, you know, I don't want you to put words in my mouth because I am not God. Let's just start there, right? But the, you know, I often think back to Christ coming on earth, and I often think back to, in a sense, here is the good news, the best news that, that we can, throughout human history, the best news that we have is that we can be reconciled, that humanity could be reconciled back into relationship the way it was in the Garden of Eden with the eternal God, and mm-hmm. and going, this is the good news. This is the incredible news that Jesus Christ comes to earth. And I think to myself, so as you said, if I was God, then, well, first thing is I would equip Jesus with all of the riches of glory. There would be absolutely no lack of, you know, in the sense of saying the Father and Jesus are connected as one. And you know, we know that there's often a conversation that Jesus would say, hey, Father, how about we do this? And the Father would say, hey, Jesus, how about we do this? And there was a, you know, again, this is a Dave interpretation, I'm sure. But there was this conversation that happening between Jesus and the Father. And it, again, what hangs in the balance is the best, the greatest news for all of humanity. And how does the Father introduce that news to the world? Jesus lives in obscurity. I mean, basically in 100 square kilometers. He, for 30 years, we have no idea what Jesus does other than being a carpenter. And then for 3 years, he has nowhere to put his head. He's got no resources. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have, like, he actually gives up the meager resources that in Nazareth that would have been his livelihood as a carpenter. And here we are. I think to myself, if I was God, I would have done it different. I would have given him everything that he needed.
You would. You said you would have put way more money into Jesus's end. Yes. And I said, I had made that, you know, comment about, to your point, how he spent time with the Father. He looked to the Father for answers and resources. Mm-hmm. He didn't look to Judas, who is the money keeper of the money box that they traveled with.
Yeah, and I mean, that's a whole other, like,
no, but
but Jesus could have blamed Judas or the money to say, like, the reason that we can't do it is a little bit of money that we do have. Not only are we giving it to the poor because we know they did that, but Judas is skimming off the top. Father, like, come on, like, we need more resources. I need new shoes. Like, you figure out what it is.
We don't read that. No, we don't. And if Jesus is our example, who did he look to as the source for everything? It was his Father. Mm-hmm. And he's introducing us to this Father of goodness who loves us. And he says to us, you know, Matthew 6, I have all these verses called up. You know, Matthew 8 says, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Mm-hmm. You know, he's saying he didn't have a golden palace. He didn't have, I mean, maybe sometimes he had a great bed to sleep in, but maybe not all the time. And then he says to us, look at the birds of the air, look at the flowers of the field, go out into nature. And like, he doesn't say it to have a nice Sunday school story for our kids. He's actually turning upside down the ideas of the world of that time and our own ideas. It's this upside down kingdom. You know, you want to be first, be last. You want to be rich, give away what you have. You want to follow me, give everything you have. Like, what was it for the rich young ruler? It wasn't
doing the right things.
I have no words for it because I'm convicted by all of that. Mm. How am I living my life? What am I in my language, in my heart? Because if we're blaming money for the not having the life that we want, then there are some heart issues around it. And I don't even know that a radio show can uncover those things.
And I think I want to also preface this a little bit to say that I would never, again, as I read scripture and as I do that, I would never have put Jesus in the context of God the Father wanting Jesus to live in poverty. Not a spirit of lack.
No.
This is a spirit of, it doesn't really matter. The joy set before him, certainly Jesus was looking, but the joy in relationship with the Father interpreting, I guess, a little bit to say that was the motivator for him to say, I just want to do what the Father wants me to do. I just want to be in relationship with the Father. And this is where I think the money competition, the blame and saying, you know, we actually are trusting money more to give us that contentment and that peace and all of those things. So we know we're available in our relationship with God. We know they're there, but they're sometimes hard to take hold of.
Well, I know in my own journey of this more than enough thing for 20 years, I've had to learn what it is not to put my trust in money, mm-hmm. in the bank account, in the security of that bank account. And it undoes your heart and your heart allegiance to say, oh man, what am I trusting? Who am I trusting? Mm. And when I hear, and really the conversation that started this and got us thinking about this, it was just about, yeah, I haven't saved up the money to go on a trip to Europe like in 2024, you know, and the money that I did have saved up, all of a sudden it's going to my car repair because that's the priority. And rightfully so, we have to, you know, fix our vehicles and then assess the priorities of our life. But I think we just wanted to talk about this today because we're hearing it and we're putting some blame or responsibility on the money or the government or time or all mm-hmm. these other things when we actually can step back and say, who am I trusting? I want to talk to God about this. Lord, what's in my heart here? Because one of the practical tips, which is what we're very practical about, mm-hmm. is making a plan.
Yeah. There are some things we can change.
Right.
Right. So we often, you know, again, when we, okay, we'll just speak for us. You know, yes. We have our complaining to each other. If you're a couple, you know what you're talking about. If you're not a couple, you get something to look forward to. You can always complain to somebody and they have to love you. And so, you know, looking at that and saying, okay, we get through that. And then the question that we ask each other and we ask ourselves is okay, so what do we need to change? Like, what is it that we can affect change? Because there are some things that we cannot change.
Yeah.
And so by, in a sense, blaming the money, you go, okay, well, if I look at the numbers and there's not enough income coming in these next 4 weeks to do the things that we want to do, what can I do to affect that change? Can I work an extra shift? Does that work out with you, Reb? Or can we sell some stuff? We got to go put some stuff on Facebook. Like there are some things that you can do for those little cash injections.
Or where can we get the help to fix that thing or borrow the machine or lawnmower is broken. Do I really have to go buy a new lawnmower? Right. Can I maybe talk to my neighbors and we figure something out? Like, and this is where the creativity of God comes in. Because what does Jesus say which is the story we love, mm-hmm. the feeding of the 5,000, mm-hmm. is what do you have?
Yeah, what do you have?
And the disciples look and say, well, this boy has five. Like, I cry almost mm-hmm. every time at this story because you have five loaves and two fish. Oh man, that seems like nothing, mm-hmm. but it's actually what you have. And I wonder sometimes, Lord, I've got my five loaves and two fish. It doesn't feel like enough today. And it's okay to feel the lack. Mm-hmm. It's okay. to not be happy with the, you know, I have a shortfall. Like, what do I do? And there's no answer. I'm working my butt off. Mm-hmm. And there's it's just hard all the time. There is a place for that lamenting, mm-hmm. but you go to the Father with it. Because what did Jesus do? Jesus went, I'm sure, with all his frustrations with the people around him, mm-hmm. to the Father. They were one. And he'd go to the Father and say, what do we do about this? And that day, he's like, oh, yeah, we got 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's all we need. Mm-hmm. Now, then you can say to me, well, we're not Jesus and we're not going to turn 5 loaves and 2 fish into.
Well, and the reason I love that story is because that's Jesus teaching his disciples how the kingdom of heaven works. And so guess what? You're not off the hook.
We're not.
If you find yourself saying, well, that was Jesus. Sorry, not right. Jesus says, you know what? These are the things, again, these practical things. This is how the kingdom of heaven works. And so as we, you know, as we even come to the end of the show today, without any resolution,
I know.
If you were looking for some great, I mean, I think that we can go, okay, Lord, what is it? As Jesus said, you have to give 100%. So in some of these things is what change do I need to make within me to meet the need or again, We all know everybody's situation is different, but Lord, what is the thing in me that needs to change? Lord, what are you teaching me situation?
How do I posture my heart was the phrase that I was saying. How do I posture myself?
Yeah.
Even in the sorrow and the lament of the hard situation.
Of course.
How do we shift from blaming money or blaming everything outside of ourselves and saying, Lord, this is between you and me. Can we make a plan? What do we do next? How does this happen?
And again, this brings unity between us and the Father. And we'll end with this because I truly believe in the 20 years we've been doing More Than Enough and talking about money and the relationship between God and money. One of the things that I am passionate about is that we see that it is unity with the Father that's really important. That is the good news. And then when we talk about our relationship with money, not to let that relationship with money divide us from the Father, but actually see how that money can draw us closer to each other, if you're a couple, and closer to the Father as a couple or as a single person. So, you know, I want to leave that maybe there's a thought there that your relationship with money really can bring you closer into relationship with the Father. And it takes some work.
I want to leave some verses. We have like a minute left. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes.
Is those verses where he says to us, don't worry.
Yeah.
What you will eat or drink or your body, what you'll put
Matthew
6, yeah. And then he says, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And of course he talks about Solomon, and that's a whole other show. So,
but I feel like, Lord, help us understand our value because you care.
Lord, that's the prayer that we have today is that we would see you unencumbered, that money wouldn't become something that comes between us, but that we can enter into the fullness of your great goodness to us and your blessing for us. And some of that is connected to the resources around us. So for those that are listening, be encouraged today. I want to just give a shout out to LTR before we wrap up and say thank you, Brian. Your partnership at More Than Enough is part of how we get to do the show. Mm-hmm. And of course, we get to do it with you, and join us next week when we talk money.
Let's Talk Money is a division of More Than Enough Financial Fitness, where God is transforming hearts and bringing hope for today and freedom for tomorrow. For more information or to comment on today's show, please visit morethanenough.ca.